Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise we can give to our God. And it's all because we know He loves us. He has proven it time and time again. He demonstrates it all the time. And we are in awe of what God has done for us on the cross because of love. It's amazing when we compare the way we express love in our own lives and we look at what God has done, and it's in sheer awe that He was able to come down from heaven and give His only Son to us so that we can be alive again. So we're going to spend some time in God's Word today. Just to be able to get a head start on what this month has in store for us. And turn your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, we're going to be going into some good things with the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. So go with me to Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. Popo read it earlier, so we're just going to continue with that. And I do believe that God has something in store for us for this month of March. As we all know at the church, we love to talk about a lot of things in March, but particularly this is going to be about money, a lot of money. There are tons of things that we can go over when it comes to money, but we're going to open up and see what the scripture has to say because it is the word of God. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5 is where we are going to be. What I want you to do is kind of just bookmark it, if you will. Bookmark it because we're going to be referring to this scripture throughout the month. Before we get started, there are a couple of verses I would love to point out as we go through this month's theme. One of them is the benefit of the doubt, because money has an interesting reputation with a lot of things that comes to how we perceive it in our lives. So we need to understand it clearly to find out what we can do to handle money properly. And so we're going to start with a verse of mine that I think everyone should just memorize. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Is a really good verse that we all should memorize when it comes to God's word and the way we deal with finances. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And so that's a fantastic verse when it comes to looking at the way God wants us to handle things around us. The other is in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. It's a really good verse as well. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, and whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." So there are two different verses that are crucial when it comes to the viewpoint of looking at finances from the perspective of God's Word. So those are two verses that are very important. I would love for you. Once again, it's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And the other is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. So, to begin today's sermon, we're going to go through a couple of things fairly quickly. But I do want your undivided attention, because most of us, when we look at things, we try to not pinpoint things in our lives. And as you can tell by the first 2 months of this year, if we don't concentrate in our own lives, our personal relationship with Christ, a lot of things can go wrong, and they can go wrong very quickly. Okay? So here we go. Particularly Ecclesiastes chapter 5 could be a sermon we kind of preach towards the Christmas time of the year, but you're getting Christmas in March, so you're welcome. Oftentimes we turn on our televisions, and when we turn on our televisions, we go through a lot of things that pop up. A lot of ads, advertisement, a lot of publicity for a lot of things. And then it often causes us to be proactive in buying stuff. If I could find a raise of hands here, how many of you have an Amazon.com list? I included. We kind of dump things on there and we casually buy at will. Amazon has made it very, very simple and easy and effective to ship whatever you buy to your home very, very quickly. It's scary because if you look at the consistency of the things that we love and that we can buy, that medium is very effective. Things like free shipping, Prime membership, the overindulgence and consumption that can lead to an attitude of excess, right? When we consume too much for ourselves. Myself as a technologist, oftentimes I can fall victim to this. So I feel your pain, right? And the attitude of overindulging, the attitude of over-access, it becomes an ever-increasing amount for just about every human being, particularly those who are living in America. There was a research done that, speaking of children, when you are born, you are born with about $16,000 to $17,000 of debt the moment you are born in America. So you start off with debt, okay? And when this happens, it's all kinds of debt. The average U.S. household has so much debt that it's an overwhelming statistic at an all-time high in our country. And in a single year, you can rack up thousands of dollars of interest because of how much we owe. So if you are spending, let's say, an average of $200 on something, you pay interest on that, you start diving into the thousands of dollars. Now, you may be wondering, well, considering our community and the income and the level of income that we all have, the average is out, there's credit card debt and debt that covers across all kinds of categories in our lives, then you can honestly say the American dream is to accumulate debt. Student loans, car notes, home mortgages. So ladies and gentlemen, our strive to be happy, we think that the next thing will make us happy, whether it be the brand new car, the new home where the previous home there was nothing wrong with, the next phone. I would never imagine I would spend over $1,000 on a cell phone. I remember the good old days when they were free. With subscription, of course. We need the latest attire, whether it be the new dress, the Jeep, pair of shoes, the next power tool. You need a nice set of power tools at home. Those of you who pre-ordered the Tesla, you're in that bucket too. We've even coined the phrase for drowning in our sorrows, things like retail therapy. Have you ever heard of that term? Retail therapy. In order for us to feel good, we should shop and buy stuff. The survey was done in about asking Americans about their level of happiness and its connectedness to finances. When they surveyed, they found out Americans say they will be happy at the next income level, which means if you are making $35,000, you won't feel happy until you make $50,000. If you are making $50,000 a year, you won't be happy until you make $75,000. And if you are making $75,000, you won't feel happy until you make $100,000 a year. And if you are making $100,000, next level is $150,000. And after that, next level will be $200,000. And then the American will feel happy. And it goes on and on and on. The cost of all this when we leave it to the financial sadness of our lives, we are strapped, emotionally broke, and at the end of the day, it's a disaster. When we get ourselves overwhelmed in our finances, when our bank accounts are low and our credit cards are high, we can very easily be frozen and stuck and end up overwhelmed. Now, maybe you don't have credit card debt or even own a credit card, but maybe, just maybe, right, you're living paycheck to paycheck. Or you just aren't saving anything in your retirement, but you are doing fine for right now, right here. And that still causes the kind of stress that God does not want us to live with. Speaking of retirement, my mom is retiring this summer. So remember, I got a shout out to her just about every sermon from here till retirement. And for those of you who thought that you could not save, she's a true example of, it doesn't matter your paycheck, God has allowed us to be good stewards of his money, stewards of the things he's entrusted us with. You got to take care of it properly. Finances are definitely one of the top reasons that marriages fall apart, because an imbalance in our finances, it tears our relationships apart. Seeing a family divide because of money is one of the saddest things ever. When we are so busy worrying and stressing about the creditors that are calling or meeting monthly bills because we simply cannot keep up with our neighbors, or looking the part when we show up at work or at school, we have no time for anything else. So, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. And we're going to read a couple of verses here. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. Ecclesiastes is part of the wisdom literature that the king of Israel allows us to read, King Solomon. The wisdom literatures, they include things like Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Solomon. So here we have Ecclesiastes. So here are 10 verses that are important, okay? 10 verses. The one who loves silver is never satisfied with silver, and whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. This too is futile. When good things increase, the ones who consume them multiply. What then is the profit to the owner except to gaze at them with his eyes? The sleep of the worker is sweet, and whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich permits him no sleep. There is sickening tragedy I have seen under the sun, wealth kept by its owner to his harm. That wealth has lost in a bad venture, so when he fathered a son, he was empty-handed. As he came from his mother's womb, so he will go again. Naked as he came, he will take nothing for his efforts that he can carry in his hands. This too is a sickening tragedy. Exactly as he comes, he will go. What does the one gain who struggles for the wind? What is more, he eats in darkness and all his days with much frustration, sickness, and anger. Here is what I have seen to be good. It is appropriate to eat and drink, experience good in all the labor one does under the sun during the few days of his life God has given him, because that is his reward. Furthermore, everyone to whom God has given riches, wealth, and he who also allowed him to enjoy them, take his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is a gift of God, for he does not often consider the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with the joy of his heart. What's so beautiful about those verses is there are a few things you want to keep in mind, and I'll run through them today. So one of them is, well, wisdom to apply. Money will never satisfy. You can write those notes down. There's going to be 8 of them. Money never satisfies. Money never satisfies. The other is, additional income brings additional expenses. Okay? additional income brings additional expenses. Money, here's number three, money causes insomnia. Money causes insomnia. Can't sleep at night because you're worried about the stock market. Okay, your 401k is plunging. Materialism is bad for you. That's number four. Materialism is bad for you. If you are obsessing yourself with buying the next new thing, there is a problem. Here's something to realize as number five. It could all be gone tomorrow. It could all be gone tomorrow. For those of you who've lived through the bubble back in 98, 99, 2000, when Amazon stock was about $2, Apple was getting ready to go bankrupt, and Enron was the talk of the town and that scandal that was caused by it. And then those of us who are old enough to remember the tragedy in 2007, 2008, where people were literally giving their homes away because it was a disaster of a stock market. 2008 was really bad. And then throughout those years since, the government shutting down a couple of times. Can you imagine? So yes, it could all be gone tomorrow. Here's number six. You cannot take money with you to heaven. You cannot take money with you to heaven. You cannot take it with you. You cannot. Oh, but we hold on to it like we can. Money, do not be, it's miserable to be a miser. A miser is someone who holds on things. So if you have ever heard of Mr. Scrooge? Mr. Scrooge was a miser. He held on. He didn't want to have heat in his home because he thought it was too expensive. So he had a very cold home, what the story, the Christmas story says. Don't be a miserable miser. Someone who hangs on to it, and they hang on to money so long that it dissolves in their hand. Number eight, there's a better way to live. What the Bible says. There's a better way to live. One of the things I would love to point out to you here is be good. That's what the Bible teaches us in Ecclesiastes. Be good. Be content. Be content. Number three, be happy. Be happy, but also be humble as well. If you read and you have the opportunity to read the book of Ecclesiastes, you will find so many great things in that book. So please read. Lots of wisdom from King Solomon, right? Lots and lots of wisdom. A few questions I would love for you to reflect on is, what does money mean to you? Do you find handling money drawing you away from God or drawing you closer to God? Why do you think Jesus talks about money so much? In the Bible, they say that Jesus talks about money number two after the kingdom. So he talks about the kingdom, number one. But in the Bible, he talks about money right after. Do you fear having too little? Or do you fear having too much? Do you enjoy giving? Or do you enjoy receiving? Where does your attitude to money come from? Does it come from the family upbringing and your outlook on finances? Does your perspective of money come from the church and how the church deals with finances? Does it come from the secular point of view, the way society perceives money? Maybe you are someone who loves commercials. You can't wait for the Super Bowl because you love commercials and you love the way they entice people to buy. Or does your perspective of money come from the Bible? What are you going to do about the things we discussed today? The only thing that makes life worth living is grace. Satisfaction is a gift that comes from God. So the goal is, and you can write this down, is to admit to that which takes humility. A person has got to come to the end of himself in order to admit that he cannot do it and that he needs God. I cannot do it. I need God. I cannot budget. I need God. I can't control my finances. I need God. And that's why some people are never happy. They have never been willing to humble themselves before God and admit their desperate need for grace. But, according to Solomon, is the only way to happiness. That's exactly it. Maybe you and I are here this morning, and we've just gotten too big for our own britches. Our pants are too small. Our belt buckle is breaking. We're all caught up in our retirement plans. We're making on-time payments. We signed up for Acorns and a ton of those investment apps out there. It's automatically being drafted from our account, right? You're all caught up, and like somehow you control all that stuff. You got a nice spreadsheet at home, and it looks wonderful. But then this morning, you just need to heed to the call to step back and recognize that no matter how much you like to play this pretend, this imagination, this make-belief of a life, you do not control your own destiny. Maybe what we need to do today is just to put our humility sweater on. Put our humility sweater on and then to soak up all of this grace from God himself like a nice sponge. I guarantee you, you will be a much easier person to live with because of it. And not only that, you will also enjoy your own life way, way more. As we go through this month of finances, we call it the money month of March. Let us take heed to what God has in store for us and to pay attention to what the Bible has to say when it comes to our finances. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love, mercy, and kindness. We praise you, O God, once again, that you've come into our presence to allow us to experience your wholeness and how complete you are. Be with us in a special way as we continue to learn more about you and your grace for all of our lives that we have done a great job of messing up. We pray that finances don't stand in the way of us drawing closer to you, O God, but instead it allows us to experience you in a special way. Allow us to use it as a vessel, a tool for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.